Ooh, I am excited, Tom. We are doing this extra special day early. We typically do this on Thursday nights for anybody joining us for the first time ever. You'll know that. But daughter's birthday tomorrow night. So we went to this directly after AEW Dynamite. We got a Jeff in the chat, so things feel right. Right, Jeffrey Sills is in the chat on the YouTube. What am I talking about? Chat on YouTube. If you're a podcast listener, listen up better. You could catch us live and be in on the conversation. You could join the YouTube chats on Thursdays, typically, sometimes Wednesdays, but you can always know if you subscribe to AllElitewrapUp.com, you'll get a friendly email each week telling you when we're about to go live. But you can always catch that, too. You can watch the live stream later, or you can listen to the podcast, and we love you podcast listeners. But we also love Jeffrey Sills in the chat, who says, "What up, boys? Shout out to the best tag team since the best friends. Hashtag I'm hurt, dog." Tom, I saw it coming when, you know, we'll get there, right? Like, when right as the hug was coming, and I was like, oh, man. Like, I already knew. I was like, chef's kiss, and they pulled it off great. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about so much about All Elite's AEW Dynamite, because it was amazing. I can't wait to get into the best friends chat and so much other things. We're going to go out to the threads. I want to remind you that we are on threads at @all_elite_wrap-up. Nailed it. If you're using hashtag AEW Dynamite, we are going to steal your shit, and we're going to put it right here, and we're all going to talk about what you're talking about, because we love the community, we love the AEW fans, and we like to breed positivity and love of AEW. So we're going to talk about stuff that you're talking about that we think is fun. So Tom, what's fun in Tom's world?
Well, you know, I just want to follow up on one thing that you said there. We like to share what other people are saying about AEW Dynamite. For two reasons. One, we just want to get to know more people, and we feel like if we're sharing their content, maybe they'll interact with us. And two, we like what they're saying, so we want others to hear it, right? We may have an audience that they may not have, and so we want to have this synergy, you could say. And so that's why we're sharing it. Again, no one's reached out yet to say
don't do it, right?
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, no one has reached out yet and been like, oh, don't do it. So, you know, obviously, if you do have any objections, let us know. We'll be glad to talk to you. We're really just about hanging out, talking some AEW. Big week. I mean, I tell you, we got so many things coming up. We've obviously got on Friday night, we've got Ring of Honor champion Eddie Kingston versus Mark Briscoe. Then you got the rest of the card, which is pretty stacked as well. And then you got a late night collision because of the NCAA Final Four. So a lot of fun stuff to look forward to. But let's get right into it, Tim. I feel like we gotta talk about it because we're here. So
yeah,
Tim, it was a big week outside of the ring, and it was alluded to right off the jump. We get Adam Copeland coming down to the ring. And he just comes out and says, hey, a lot of BS has been spewed this week. And screw that. He wants to talk about positive things in pro wrestling. And he goes on a little bit of a monologue here where he watched this and this and this and this. And so he loves pro wrestling. So it's okay if you watch X, Y, and Z. Okay, before I guess I share my thoughts, Tim, let's fill the people in on what he may be alluding to, and then let me get your thoughts and if you got any threads to go along with it.
We do have a threads. So let me shout out the threads here. I believe this is Miss Malaki says, Adam Copeland telling CM Punk to go fuck himself in the sweetest way possible. Hashtag AEW Dynamite. Definitely peppered with that. To say the least, if not the whole purpose of the promo. It did feel like AEW's response to, like, what the CM Punk interview on the MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani was. And, man, you know, I have never been an MMA fan, but I have heard from you over the, 15 close to years now we've been friends?
You were my producer on an MMA show.
And there we go. And so I've known who this person is, right? And I've always thought, like, this guy's kind of, you know, a little bit of a, I don't like this guy. But I'm not really plugged into that world, so it never really bothered me. But now we've had a couple iterations of this guy, very skewed in the in this idea of this tribalism that exists amongst AEW and WWE, which we are of the lot of, we are the All Elite Wrap-Up, and we are AEW marks, and we love AEW, and we do have reasons why we don't like WWE, but we're here to say, I don't give a shit, right? Like, don't give a shit, right? Like, we're just trying to watch the show and watch what we like and talk to people that like it also. So, you know, the CM Punk interview came out, and it's scathing, and I don't think I have to fill in a whole lot of people about that, right? But it does feel like, again, CM Punk doesn't take accountability and everything's everybody else's fault, right? Like, there could be, I'm not to discount that some of the things that annoyed CM Punk over there were probably valid things that annoyed him and might have annoyed me too, right? The guy doesn't seem to think that when he's like, so I just choked a guy, that's not okay, right? Like, that's a little weird, right? So that's what it felt like again. It's like, here goes CM Punk again, talking about how, like, I did everything right. I was a perfect angel and couldn't have done anything wrong. And these, like, outrageous things just started happening around me that I had to go into self-defense mode. And you know what? I personally think I'm siding with Tony Schiavone on this one. And I don't give a shit, right? Like, I don't give a shit what that guy has to say. He clearly, clearly has a problem taking, like, responsibility for shit in his life. So I don't really care, like, what he has to say.
Yeah, I would say this. There's a lot to unpack here. So before we get to Adam Copeland's comments, I do want to talk about what he was referring to. I will say, in CM Punk's defense, he went on an interview show and he answered the questions that were asked to him, right? He didn't say, hey, by the way, I got this match that I'm going to be commentating Seth Rollins with Drew McIntyre, but let me tell you, fuck the Young Bucks. Like, he didn't do that. You know what I mean? Now, they were maybe teed up for him, and he knocked it out of the park, as you could say. Also, I wouldn't discredit Ariel Helwani, because this was the first time, at least to my knowledge, that we've had a sit down out of the ring, out of a WWE produced interview. You know what I mean? This wasn't a backstage thing where Kathy Kelly's asking CM Punk questions. This was a close to an hour sit down. And for Ariel to not ask about, hey, where'd you come from, would be disingenuous. Now, here's the thing that I'll say.
Ariel is disingenuous. This is what I want to. You said he didn't do that with Triple H.
Well, he didn't. And so here's the thing, is because Ariel Helwani has been doing MMA coverage since AOL Fan House 2007, right? He has been in this space forever. And he comes from the University of Syracuse, which is one of the greatest journalism schools in America. Mm-hmm. He is well-respected by legit people. Well, yeah, he's respected by legit people like Bob Costas, as just an example, and others as well. And so when he does MMA, he's as good as it gets for an interview. Now, his, you know, breaking of stories, editorials, there's other people, right? Ben Folks, Chad Dundas, anyhow. But when he dips his toe over into the pro wrestling world, he's compromised, because the person who runs WWE now, Nick Khan, used to be Ariel's agent. So they have a very good relationship. Legitimately, the only reason he's not his agent is because Nick Khan took the WWE job. Like, it was up until the day that Nick Khan said, going to take a job with WWE, Ariel was represented by him. So in no way can he, I shouldn't say no way, but he is definitely skewed to help out his buddy, right?
He's on the in. Right. He's friendly.
But to me, this is where it's just like, then stay out. Right. So later on in that podcast, or whatever you want to call it, episode, he does an interview with Rhea Ripley. Becky Lynch comes in, tries to start like a little fight. Fine. Right. MTV's done that. VH1's done that. So many shows have played along with the pro wrestling kind of gimmick. I can remember on TRL, Raven hitting DDP with a stop sign over his head, right? So we've had
the
those
Tonight
examples.
Show has probably had countless times where somebody's coming in
the
and beat
Tonight
somebody
Show
up.
Was taken. Mm-hmm. The Tonight Show was taken over by Hollywood Hogan and Eric Bischoff one night. Remember when Jay Leno was about to wrestle?
That's true.
And so those things are fine. But when you then say, okay, but we're taking that hat off and now we're going to be journalistic, that's where the issue comes, is because then you're not objective. You're subjective because you have your friend who works for this company. I will also say, to his credit, he has also had AEW people on. The way he kind of got into this controversy with Tony Khan is he booked MJF, and AEW has a certain way of doing it. Apparently Ariel did not follow that, and neither did MJF, so it pissed off Tony Khan. Bad interview with Tony Khan. Now we don't like each other, right? So my issue with Ariel is just stay out, right? Not to stay in your lane, like shut up and dribble. I'm not saying that. But like, if you can't be the journalist that you are in the MMA space, don't do it in pro wrestling. Just say you're a fan. Say you like that The Rock did a segment and keep it moving, right? Now, I have a little issue, just a touch of an issue with what Adam Copeland said tonight. Because, as I've said, kind of my 2024 pro wrestling mantra is pro wrestling is big enough to like and dislike whatever it is that you want and don't want, and that's okay. As long as you're not just like, well, fuck that. You know, like, don't be a jerk. But if you don't like Lucha Libre,
watch what you want to watch.
Right.
We'll watch what we want to watch.
Exactly. And that's fine, right? The thing that I take a little bit of issue with, and I haven't been able to verbalize it, I said it on Threads that it's okay if you only like one promotion, and it's okay if you like 40 promotions. Okay?
Right.
The thing is, with this tribalism taboo word that is frustrating, is I'm not tribalistic just because I like one show, right?
Right.
Like, if you tell me, hey, it's WrestleMania week, are you going to watch WrestleMania night 1 and 2? If I respond by saying, no, man, I'm going to watch Ring of Honor on Friday night, and then I'll probably watch the women's and men's NCAA basketball tournament, your response to me should never be, what the fuck, you don't like?
Shouldn't be angry.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Right. Don't be angry at me because of what I like and dislike. That's the thing when, and then you use the word tribalism to me in this example, and it's not fair, you know, not to get political here, but it's almost like the word woke, right? We just use the word woke to be anything I don't fucking like, right? Oh, you don't like Channel 42? You must be woke. It's like, no, I just don't like those fucking people. Well, you know what I mean?
Now, it means again, empathy, getting, but you know what I mean?
But it's being weaponized, right? And I feel
correct. And so is this. So is the tribalism.
I feel like this is being weaponized against people who say, I just like this thing, right? I like your shirt. You, let's just say, as an example, you love Nick Gage, right? That's your style of wrestling that you love, right? But let's just go along with that. But let's just go along with that example a little bit.
Hold on, you were ready to run off with this man into the night and rob a bank with him when we met.
I fucking always love him. Yes, yeah. I love Nick Gage.
I think you felt him up a little bit on that hug.
No, I wanted to be like blood brothers. If he would have been like, slit your wrist, I'd be like, yep, let's do it. You know, like, let's join blood together.
I know.
Love them.
I still love that we skipped the line and gave them like a 20 when it was supposed to be like $100.
Yeah, that's fine.
They were just like, hurry it up.
Get out of here. Yeah. But to continue with that point, if the only style of wrestling you like is deathmatch, just as an example, if I come to you and I'm like, dude, Penta versus Ricky Starks was insane. If you were to say like, I don't like that, again, my reaction can't be like, oh, so you just don't like fucking wrestling? Oh my God. So, dude, do you know?
E-mark or whatever the fuck these terms are?
Yeah.
I can't stand it.
That's the part. Yeah. And so that's the part when wrestling fans are like, but I like this and this and this and this. That doesn't make you a better wrestling fan than me. And it also doesn't make you better or worse. You know what I mean? So like, if you watch TNA, AEW, WWE, fucking cool. But if I say I don't like TNA and you're like, you don't know that the Motor City Machine Guns left? No. Like, obviously I do, but you know what I'm saying? Like, no, I didn't see their last match. Oh, you must not be a wrestling fan. The fuck I am. You know what I mean? And so I take a little bit of issue with tribalism being weaponized as a, well, if you don't watch everything and you don't know everything, then you're not a wrestling fan.
Yeah. It's almost as if they're accusing you of when you say, because I'm absolutely not going to watch any bit of WrestleMania. I'm not making a statement by saying that, but that's what they accuse you of, right?
Yes,
I'm
exactly.
not saying I'm not watching them because I think they're run by a sexual predator and a person there. I mean, that's part of the reason I don't like them. But my primary reason is I don't like that show, and I think it's boring, and I think it's fucking subsurface level storylines, and it's bullshit, and I don't like it. It's
right.
over-commercialized nonsense. It doesn't feel real in the slightest, right? I understand none of it's real. But so that's it right there. This tribalism goes all over the place with that, right? And there's various reasons to watch or to not watch something, right? I'll hear all kinds of reasons on why you don't watch something, right? Like, I don't watch because I don't like this company's stance on this, or I don't watch because I don't like what it is, right? I just don't like it. But for you, the reason to watch something being anything other than like, I have a good time watching it is a little weird to me, right? If there's any other reason outside of that, right?
Yeah.
If you're telling me like, oh man, they make so much more money or they sell much more merch, I'm like, okay, that can be true, but like, that shouldn't be a reason why I'm picking to watch it versus another programming is really weird to me. It's really dumb. With the whole tribalism thing, one thing I really need to let people know, especially with the fucking CM Punk thing who won't go away, what I need people to understand, and this goes broader, right? This goes to the woke side of things as well, right? Guys, you don't fucking know, right? I see people saying like, well, clearly this is a Jack Perry problem. He grew up a spoiled rich kid and wants everything given to him. You don't fucking know him. You also weren't here in this situation. You didn't see it. You don't know. You also don't run a company. You can't be like, Tony Khan just doesn't have his shit together. You don't fucking know. What the fuck is wrong with all these armchair executives and armchair people all of a sudden being like, well, I tell you what, if they would have just, you don't fucking know. God damn, spare me all your faux fucking wisdom, people. You don't fucking know shit. Yeah. Like, you don't know shit. There are plenty of logical statements you can make from not knowing shit, but how everything everybody else is saying about, like, what should have happened, who should have said what, who ruined what, who's smarter than who got the fucking short of the stick, none of you know jack shit. So all these declarative statements are just, I'm done with them all. Like, it's really, listen to everybody's favorite uncle, the calming voice in pro wrestling, Tony Schiavone. You don't need to give a shit about any of this.
Right. Yeah. The last thing that I would say about tribalism is it's not unique to pro wrestling. There are plenty of people who only wear Nikes. There are plenty of people who only eat right. McDonald's over Burger King. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like, don't, right? If you only drink Coca-Cola and I come up to you like, dude, you don't want a fucking Pepsi? Oh, you don't want Sprite? Like, I don't know if there's, you know what I mean? Like, oh, you don't, so you must not like soft drinks. You must not like soft drinks. It's like, it's not the flavor I like. Or, you know, with shoes, the shoe doesn't really fit me that well. I have a different foot, so I prefer New Balances or whatever it is, right? We don't shame people and be like, you should get Jordans, you fucking pussy. Like, no, right? No. So that's what I'll say there, and I'll leave it at that.
It does feel weird. I will say this. Tinfoil Hat Timmy says, curious timing for WWE for a bombshell interview that was supposed to be not to happen because of an NDA when other crazy news hit the fan about some of their goings. But whatever.
Yeah, we will wait till more things are out about that to maybe discuss it. Or maybe not. We'll find out.
Or maybe not, because we're the All Elite Wrap-Up, and we're going to talk about Dynamite. Now, that was Adam Copeland, right? He had that open. It was a nice pump-up speech. He really felt it. And so not to shit on him there, right? He went out and did what he was supposed to do, right?
Of course, yeah.
He did it fine. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, if he feels that way, that's great. That's like, I'm not shaming him. I'm just saying, don't shame me because of X, Y, Z, right? So let's keep it moving. What he then does is says, hey, AEW's great. I like it here. I like it for all these reasons. I haven't faced this person, this person, this person, and this person. And you know what makes AEW great? People like this, who's going to take us moving forward. And he introduces Will Ospreay. Found that interesting. Handshake, handshake. And we have a match between two Don Callis guys, which again feels like this elephant in the room where Adam Copeland shaking Will Ospreay's hand. Will Ospreay's high-fiving all the fans, but Don Callis and his family are heels. So, like, let's get this thing wrapped up, right? But we have Will Ospreay versus Powerhouse Hobbs. And what I would say here is, to break, you know, kayfabe for a moment, it was really great to see Powerhouse Hobbs in a good featured spot, right? Will Ospreay, like I said on Threads, is being pushed to the moon. It feels like he's the next big thing in AEW. And so for Powerhouse Hobbs to stand next to him, or, you know, wrestle him, adds a little credibility to him. And he gave him a good match here. Ultimately, though, Will Ospreay gets the win. What did you think of our opening contest?
The opening contest was fun. I'm also going to shout out the Threads here first from Abortress. Hope I'm saying that right. Ospreay and Hobbs both looked incredible out there. Hashtag AEW Dynamite. And, you know, we need more Powerhouse Hobbs in our life. We've said that 1,000 times. But this match, again, Will Ospreay is hitting everything with, not to steal an overused term, with 5 stars, right? Like, everything he's doing is just, you're like, yep, I see it. Like, yeah, I get it. I understand, right? Like, everybody's right, right? I can get it. So that was fine, right? The match is great. Everybody's pumped up after you know, our second favorite uncle speech, and things are flowing. Hobbs, man. Look, Don Callis is great, and I know we've got the Don Callis family, but I think maybe we should focus Don Callis's efforts. I don't think Don Callis needs a family, and people need to be like fighting Don Callis with his minions. I think Don Callis needs to be fluffing up, for lack of a better term here, somebody like a Powerhouse Hobbs, right? Yep. Like, he's the one doing kind of like we got with Penta later, where somebody's laying out the bulk of it, and then Powerhouse can be like, throw down some cool lines and look like a smooth motherfucker, right?
Yeah.
That's what we need. And we need to get that going with Powerhouse Hobbs. I'm sure you've got hell of ideas. If we gave Tom the pencil, we know that can happen. So, Tony, if you need ideas, we're here for you. But, man, I like the match, but I just really – it left me going, like, cool and all. Man, I really wish we could do something with Hobbs.
Yeah, it left me saying the same thing. One thing, not to get ahead of ourselves here, but one thing that – wasn't necessarily the greatest thing for tonight's episode was this was a 20-minute match. Now, for this opening contest, it makes a little bit more sense, right? They're both in the same family, so you would assume they know more than the other wrestlers, their strengths and weaknesses, because they probably travel the road together. You know, all those little things about being part of a faction. So it makes sense that this match would be a little bit longer. But I felt like every match was kind of the same cookie cutter 20-minute thing. And, you know, we'll get to it as we get through the matches. But post-match, Don Callis gets in the ring because Hobbs is mad because he lost. He tries to get Ospreay's face, and then Don Callis plays peacekeeper. But then he whispers something in Powerhouse Hobbs' ear. He's like, blah, 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 blah. And then they all leave. And then as they leave, because they leave opposite sides. Like, you know, I don't know directions, but Powerhouse Hobbs and Don Callis left north and Ospreay left south. But as Ospreay's going up the ramp, Bryan Danielson, the pettiest motherfucker in AEW's whole roster, just comes out before he could even make it to the back. And he just looks at him. Ospreay, to his credit, says, top that. Bryan Danielson's like, yeah, duh. I can easily do that, right? And then he runs down and we go to commercial. What did you think about Bryan Danielson coming out before the commercial break?
He does have a way, even when he was Daniel Bryan, of that, right? Like, somebody's like, God damn it, and fuck you too. And they turn around and now here's this guy with his open mouth smile, like, like ready to fucking twist that knife a little, right? Like, he's known for that, and it's very good, and this was exactly what that was. But it's good, right? Again, it's those are easy ways without having to set up another promo where they say the same lines to each other to kind of keep a little heat and a little tension between folks.
Yeah, and so Bryan Danielson, when we get back from break, he's taking on Lance Archer, and here's a good example of where could have used a 6-minute match. Not to say that Lance Archer is bad. I think the spot he does in this match where he uses a crew member to body slam onto Bryan Danielson is awesome. I love that about the character of Lance Archer. So but we're also not in the Lance Archer business right now. You get what I'm saying? Like, we're not here to be like, this fucking guy's
as great
next.
As he is.
Right.
Right.
That's where in pro wrestling and in most other entertainment things, you're hot and you're cold, right? You move up, you move down, you move up, you move down, right?
Well, yeah, we don't need to like do a 20-minute match to make Lance Archer look good in defeat. Lance Archer will look good in whatever he does for the most part, even if it was a 6-minute match, right?
Yeah, and so this also, because in my opinion, Ospreay is the one where everyone's going crazy. If Bryan Danielson can do a little, you know, stomp the ground, y'all motherfuckers must have forgot who I was kind of match, I think that would add a little bit more going into this where it says like, oh shit, well, Lance Archer's maybe bigger than Powerhouse Hobbs, but he beat him in like 12 minutes less. You know what I'm saying?
That's just it. Nobody's going to look at Lance Archer less next week and be like, what a chump. Lost to Bryan Danielson. You know what I mean? Like, nobody's going to do that, right? Everybody dies is all you're going to be thinking about when you see that guy. And you're like, listen, here's what I got in my wallet. Here, sir, please take it.
Exactly.
Please take it.
Yeah, and exactly. Losing to Bryan Danielson is not getting buried. I've always had the notion, especially with how stacked the AEW roster is, anyone getting TV time isn't getting buried. You can't tell me, like, oh, they lost three times in a row. Guess what? Miro hasn't been seen since the last fucking pay-per-view. You know, I don't know if he's hurt or not, but you understand what I'm saying? Like, so don't tell me oh, he lost 3 weeks in a row. That's TV time.
Yeah. The easy way to tell that story, too, is Lance Archer came in trying to throw everything around, and Danielson out-tricked him and tripped him up and twisted him up and made him be like, oh, shit, I got a tap or my leg's going to break. And then you're like, all right.
Yeah, I'm the best in the world. See ya. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, then you have Archer going on a tirade in the back, and somebody else gets in his way, and then he's off.
Easy storytelling. Easy story. But after this, we then do a on-stage promo, which I think was a miss, but it's with – everyone's you know, as you're using the uncle analogies, this is the uncle who won't be quiet. We're all ready to eat, but he continues to tell you stories about the war. And it's Chris Jericho, and he walks out and he calls out Hook, and I don't know, they say the same thing again, and Hook goes, hey, guess what, I got a match for us. And Jericho says, bet. And you could tell he didn't even like saying it. So I don't know why he did it, but whatever. As soon as they do whatever it is that they do that was awkward.
Hold on. I missed that part, I guess.
Oh, you said, yeah. He goes,
bet.
Bet. Bet. Yeah, it was not good. Wait, I'm just. Nope.
Hook had to teach him that one, right? Like that.
Yeah, nope. Don't do it, bud. Don't do it.
Look. I'm of the age borderline thing where like it like I know it but shouldn't use it, right? But like he doesn't even know it. Come on.
Yeah. Just don't say it. But as soon as they say that they have a match, we go backstage and Lee Moriarty and Shane Taylor are saying, "Hey, assholes, we're going to be the ones that face you on Collision." And okay. Was Shane Taylor? What do you think of this Shane Taylor? Or do you think about Shane Taylor?
I don't think about Shane Taylor. Now, let me go to threads real quick. First of all, on the last topic we were just on, I forgot to throw this one in here. Radio on the Tony says, Jericho wants to be Hook's mentor, but only if he signs an NDA. # AEW Dynamite. Allegedly. Now, Shane Taylor, Tom, this is Rucci, I don't, nailed it, says Shane Taylor promotions for life. Let's get these guys some wins. They deserve it. # AEW Dynamite. If they deserve it, I don't know where it's getting squeezed in on Dynamite, right? I don't know anything about Shane Taylor Productions. Have they been doing things on like Collision or Rampage even? Like, I don't know anything. Like, I know who they are, obviously, and like we've seen them, but like
they've been doing primarily things on Ring of Honor. Shane Taylor was right. predates.
Okay, that's
even,
what I feel like. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Shane Taylor predates even Tony Khan purchasing Ring right. of Honor. He was around back then. Of course. Right. I guess my thoughts on him.
But here
is,
lately, AEW, have we been seeing them? No, right? I didn't.
No, I mean, yeah, he's been popping up, but nothing crazy. Like he had a, when Samoa Joe was the Ring of Honor TV champion, he had a pay-per-view
right.
match
with Samoa
Joe.
Yeah, but that was
Samoa
a while
Joe.
Back now. Several months
yeah.
back now.
Yeah, so
yeah, I forgot
mean,
he was around. Honestly, when I saw him, I was like, "Oh yeah,
oh yeah." Well, my thing with him is, it's not that I don't believe him. Get what I'm saying? Like, I believe he's like, this is the character that I am. And then if you got to know him, it would be an extension of who he really is. But when it doesn't come across genuine. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Like,
I do.
Like, I'm a Chiefs fan, right? As you can see from my background. But if I were to give this monologue about the Chiefs and it sounds like Shane Taylor, you might not think I'm a Chiefs fan. Does that make sense of what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I don't get, something's missing. Well, that's what I'll say. Something's missing with Shane Taylor.
I do know you had a say in the matter in making sure the Chiefs leave Kansas City. So.
No, I had a say in the matter that the billionaires aren't going to ask for a tax from the poor people.
No, and that's a good say.
Who can't even afford to go to the goddamn games.
Yeah,
fuck that shit. I don't care who you are.
You didn't have a say in it. They're still making that decision on their own. I agree with you.
Well, my vote of no was to say you're not going to ask people. 1 in 7 Missourians are live in poverty. Here's a fun fact side quest. One in seven Missourians live in poverty, and a billionaire who has one $25 billion from his family and then another one $10 million from just being oil businessman is asking those individuals, the 1 in 7, to pay a tax on things they can't even afford to go to. They can't afford to go to a football game or a baseball game, but they want your tax dollars. Fuck you. I will say that to every owner.
Yeah.
I digress.
No, and that's right. I've always heard the thing of they're like, why would the Jackson County folks pay this tax when it's the Johnson County folks that go to the games? And I was like, the problem with that is Johnson County would probably be like, all right, well, come on over here.
we'll
build that up. But that's probably what'll happen. But hey, you know.
Well, and this whatever. That's the thing. And then you guys are going to be like, well, why is our property tax so high? God damn, this sucks. And like, oh, yeah. Well, how's that working out for you? Huh? Yeah. Great that you got
property
that.
Taxes. You ain't even got to be in Johnson County. But that's Kansas and Missouri stuff that people don't want to hear. We'll get back from break.
Yeah, we get back from break. Jay White makes his entrance. And in the shadows of his entrance, Billy Gunn shows up. And we get a knockdown, drag-out fight. If you recall from Collision, we saw a video of Jay White and the Ass Boys invading Billy Gunn's home. Billy Gunn catching them. Mm-hmm. They scurry off. He's mad. This is why we have the match. Another point, though, that I would say, we don't need... I'm reading from a recap here. Let me see if they give us a time on this match. They don't on this one, but we don't need match time not rated.
Yeah,
we don't need 14 minutes or so to just do the same thing. One other note I would say, though, I think Billy Gunn is fun. I think he is legit, right? When he cuts promos, it sounds like he didn't need a script, all of those things. He's jacked. He's bigger than everyone else. Side note, he is 1 year older than Iron Sheik when Iron Sheik won the Battle Royal at WrestleMania 17. Go watch Iron Sheik in that, and then go look at Billy Gunn. But I don't need Billy Gunn feuding with his sons anymore. I get it. It feels like we've been doing this for 12 years. You know what I mean? So one of you got to go.
Stop feuding altogether or put them back and let's turn them into the Ass Boys and have him out there managing them or something, right? Like, let's stop this. I agree. We got some threads on Jay White. Says, Bleary Line 7 says, Jay White is the best shit heel wrestler on earth, in my humble opinion. He's never not being a cowardly piece of shit at any point in time. Hashtag AEW Dynamite. And that's true. And that's fine. But as Tom's saying here, like, this is just overdone with the gang bang scissor gang slash Ass Boys versus Daddy Ass. Like, enough of this. This has stalled all of them in the cool factor. 100%. It's all done. And another thing about this, let's talk about this. At Must Be Colin says, new ROH Trios belts. Yeah, they aren't merging the titles. Hashtag AEW Dynamite. So again, here we are forcing, I guess, two Trios divisions. But I don't think we got it. Look, it's hard to be giving me both a tag team division and a Trios division in the amount of television you have, and trying to have those both be robust. Man, those should be one division that cross back and forth, if anything, if you're asking me.
I get it, because I think at one time it was Kenny Omega and the Bucks, and that's what we want to do. And hey, we've got Death Triangle. Hey, we got Best Friends. And that's all great. But it feels like a short-sighted title that wasn't having any thought for long-term investment. That's what I would kind of wrap that up with. But again, a little bit too long. The Acclaim come out. And even them, like, they got like a yay. But then it was...
They're stale. I said this a long time ago. You better be thinking about what's next. And this... La scissor, amen, after a while, right? Like, I was like, everybody's going to get tired of that after a while.
Well, but to me, if I had the pin, as I like to say, that could be a shirt where you could make if I had the pin. But they're better heels, right? What got them over was 100%. Heels. What got them over was... Look at these fucking nerds in the ring, and us going like, God damn, those were some, man, they really went there. Well, they talked about this thing that's in the news,
right?
Motherfucker. And they're not doing any of those things anymore. Yes, I agree with you. The scissoring thing.
But yeah, but biting lines, the head, and then he's sitting there wagging his dick in front of, you know what I mean? And being like, what are you going to do about it? I just said your mom's a whore, right? Like, mm-hmm. That feels more likable in a weird way to the pro wrestling fan, right?
It feels more genuine. It feels more like, oh, that's something I've seen before. That's someone I know, right? Again, it's not the 1980s anymore. Hogan Must Pose shit needs to go. That's why, not to bring up CM Punk again, but his Collision run was fucking trash because it was all Punk Must Pose this at feels, the end of the night, and that fucking sucks.
This feels like the end of the NWO Wolfpack, right? When it was like, mm-hmm. everybody's got to come out and say their 15-minute catchphrase, right?
Yeah.
All of them. Here again, right? Like every week. Yes.
Yes, yes. That's a great, great call out. Yeah, mm-hmm. I totally agree with you there. All right. So then after we get that, we see a backstage shot. Young Bucks arrive. They're suited in all their Dumb and Dumber gear. And then we see the Best Friends, and Sue's with them. Sue is with them.
Fucking Sue.
Love Sue. Love
Sue.
Then we keep it moving, and we do an interesting, I want your take on this. We do an interesting onstage promo. But this time, we changed the placement of the camera. So we have Renee Paquette bring out Willow Nightingale. She is accompanied by Chris Statlander and Stokely Hathaway. But they have them not facing the crowd. It was almost like, if you recall, you know, 80s Mean Gene Okerlund standing on the stage, you know, and they had the egg.
Like on that little box.
Yeah, like it felt like that.
Yeah, it is kind of what it felt like. And maybe it's just trying something new just to kind of show, you know, what's
which
here.
Which is to me, that's great. If you want to try new things, awesome. But then it makes no fucking sense why you did Jericho and Hook facing the crowd. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Keep it the same.
Keep it the
you know
same
what I mean?
Tonight. Yeah, keep it the same tonight at least. Yeah. Yeah.
So she comes out and she's putting over that she's from. What town was it in? What town are we in here tonight?
This was Worcester.
Yeah, Massachusetts. And she's saying, hey, I was up and down these roads, and they're just eating it up. And then, I think you got some sound for us, she says...
No.
I thought you had it queued up. Well, she says that she is...
What, this?
Hello! No. She says that she's feeling she says she's
Mother Flippin'. No, I don't have the sound. We need to get the sound, but we do have a Threads from Tony Burgess, 1969, who says, Mother Fluffin' Willow Nightingale, AEW Dynamite. Yeah, Mother Fluffin' is that. If that's not a shirt, Tom, when we hit AW Dynasty in St. Louis, because we're ballers and we'll be there.
Well, what?
If that shirt is there, I'm buying it.
Oh, yeah. If that purple shirt is there of Willow on the fucking unicorn, I'm getting that.
Yeah, I want Mother Fluff, and I want it in fluffy letters, like we said.
Uh-huh.
Then we need to get her with Nick Gage doing the fucking, get the fucking, anyway, but, you know. That's
well, if you don't want to go Nick Gage because he kind of put you in hot water with the pizza cutter and Domino's, at least Eddie Kingston. At least get her with Eddie Kingston. But
John Moxley's there, so he could just transition. Ooh. Like, John Moxley is going up against somebody who's got a lady, right? And they're like, oh, Matt Cardona, and what's her name, right? Oh, but she's
well,
in WWE.
Chelsea Green, yeah. You could do Chris Sabian and Penelope Ford.
Right. Do they do GCW? I haven't watched
it. Oh, of course. Sure,
but
of course.
So they're over there. Yes, and then Moxley's over there, and they're like, oh, yeah, well, who you got? And he's like, oh, I got somebody for you. I got Mother Fluffin' Willow. And then yeah, she's out here with light tubes, smiling, going crazy. Come on!
Yeah, that would be great.
Fluff Life.
Fluff Life, that's about it. But so Willow Nightingale is talking about how she feels that, Willow! You know, stop that.
Okay,
I'm sorry. says how, you know, she never felt really, you know, wanted, but here she is in pro wrestling, a chubby girl with tattoos.
Finally accepted.
You know, curly, and she feels accepted because it all started in Massachusetts. So she's going to obviously use all this momentum, and she's going to beat Julia Hart at Dynasty to become your TBS champion. Then Stokely Hathaway, in a little bit of a change face, takes the microphone and is like, essentially paraphrasing here, was like, hey, you guys know I usually shit on Willow Nightingale, but I ain't doing that here. I want you to know that this girl works her ass off. She's awesome. She's about it. I believe she's going to be champion. And we hear CEO, CEO. And Tim, you know, you have told me for as long as we've seen her on the main roster, Sasha Banks, that is, of the, hey, I do the promos the same way. And it was never, and this is me still being positive and patient, but it was never more evident of a WWE packaged talent in AEW. Kind of like how people were like so dumbfounded with Cody using the Cody-tron or the Cody Vader and all the stuff that was AEW. And it was like, this is WWE, right? For as shocking as that was in WWE, not to say it was on that same level, but it felt that same feeling of like, this is 100% WWE. Like, what the f-
Yeah, it I, was.
What did
I'm
you
here
think?
For a promo. No, you're not. You're interrupted. Here's my lines. And everybody's like, yeah, it. Yes, man. I told you, I even thought, you know, at least this was quicker, right?
Yes.
Than we've been getting lately. But it is still the, listen, I had to practice these lines 15 times, and I don't know how to make them sound like they're conversational, right? It's just too much, right? It's too much. It's not real. Like, again,
well, and she even,
oh, this isn't real, but like, you got to act like it's real.
Yeah. Well, she even kind of, you know, air quotes here, breaks character, because then she starts talking to the crowd as she makes her way down the ramp and was like, this title would look good on me, right? And it's like, well, yeah, that talk like that.
Do that
on the microphone, you know?
Do that.
But she eventually comes out here, cuts off Stokely Hathaway, and essentially just says, I don't care who wins at Dynasty, at Double or Nothing, I've got what? Here's another
next
thing. But yeah, you got next. You ain't The Rock and Cena. Who the hell is making a match a year in advance or whatever?
Well, let's talk about
like
this. Let's talk about this on Threads. At Theo underscore Moses 190 says, I love AEW, but Mercedes getting a TBS title shot without even having a match yet is stupid. Hey, Tony Khan, how does this make sense if the ranking system is supposed to matter? Come on, man. Hashtag AEW Dynamite. I will say this. Again, if we're in a kayfabe world and we're watching a fighting organization and there were two major organizations, if you got one of the stars and you had a ranking system, you know their body work, you would put them in a high ranking, right? Like, so, but I don't know if they would be like straight up title shot right away. I mean, maybe. I mean, I guess, well, you know, in some instances, if you were that good, which they're positioning her to be, so it's not too absurd for me, but it is a bit eye rolling. I will give them that.
Yeah, I just, and again, to call, because it would be one thing, in my opinion, to be like, and then the Wednesday after Dynasty, I've got winner. Okay, right? But you're saying, we're assuming that the winner,
3 months from now.
Well, because that's the thing. Yeah. We're assuming that the winner of this match, Julia Hart and Willow Nightingale, whoever that winner is,
stay the champion.
Until the next, so like, what the hell is that about? It makes no logical sense.
Yeah, and see, you don't have to do that yet. You could say next week on Dynamite, and then we get a schmoz finish, and they continue the feud that builds to that. And they go, we're going to settle this at Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
And so,
in the Bitch You Better Bring It match.
Coming on. I like that idea. That's a good idea. So, yeah, we get that, and that's it. She doesn't go to commentary. She makes her way walking down the ramp and then I guess goes to catering. I don't know what she did because then we never saw her again. But then we get the semifinals. Right? Of course, yeah. But we get the semifinals of our tag team tournament match. We get the Young Bucks versus the Best Friends. And Tim, this had a lot of fun moments in it, right? This was classic AEW that creates classic AEW moments. A lot of things we can talk about, but one thing I don't want to get lost in the shuffle is, and again, I have almost done a complete 180 on the Young Bucks. Still not 100% there, but it's getting closer.
You've done like a 157.
Matt Jackson getting on the headset. Yes. And then saying, Excalibur, why do I got to do your job? Go to commercial. We're going to be in picture in picture. And then they fucking do it was great. Like, outstanding.
Did you see they put out a release on Twitter talking about this match? And it was so corporate where they were like, even though Okada will not be rooting, like, he sends his interest, he's willing to have a conversation with him offline. they were like, even though we think there's room for improvement in their productivity, we believe Trent and Chuck will, or whatever it was, like,
Trent and Orange Cassidy will do well.
We'll do great tonight. So fucking great. They are hitting perfectly the executive corporate shithead. Great right now.
And that's what I love about the timing of this, because we've seen wrestler on headset. Usually it's just, I'm the best. Hey, or do you see me kicking this guy's ass? And he did that to a certain extent. But to then say, we're going to commercial.
Yeah, like I could see it on your sheet. Aren't you doing your job? Stop looking at me. Do your job. Look at the monitor. Look at the cue card.
That was the chef's kiss. Hey, I'm gonna
say in your review
things
coming up in a couple of weeks, you really want me to remember this?
Yeah, that was
cut
awesome
to camera three already. Throw the come on. Yeah,
I thought that was great. And so we get again a classic AEW match. We get some fun things here. We get an almost super kick Matt Jackson to Sue because Sue is sitting ringside here. I'll just say this: coked out Shawn Michaels would have done it.
But boy, that 157 that you've done might dial it back if you go fucking super kick and Sue, god damn it.
Well,
or maybe it dials it all the way.
If
Sue's consenting, we're down.
Yeah, that's
whatever.
What I'm saying. I love Sue, and you don't fucking hurt Sue.
Hey, Sue loves the game. Sue be down.
If you're a heel, I get it, right? Now,
yeah, after the match when they were shit cheese-eating grin, I was like, what kind of person would maniacally laugh in the face of Sue?
Yeah.
You
sons of bitches. So they end up getting the victory, they being the Young Bucks. They advance to the finals. They will be taking on the winner of FTR versus Top Flight, which they will have their match on Collision. The matchup will take place at Dynasty. We will get a new tag team champion. Great. Now let's get to the post-match. So Trent is upset and he's disappointed. Chuck Taylor, who's still injured, he comes in. He's like, hey, you know what? Kind of like shit happens. We're going to dust ourselves off like we always do. Let's get this hug. We know what they came for. We know why we came here. Let's do a hug. So the three of them all go to their own respective corners. And we get a psycho knee from Trent right to Orange Cassidy's face.
Give me a little Aberdeen face buster.
Chuck, looking, you know, as dumbfounded as you can. Trent, kind of looking like, you know, the first time murderer who finally pulled the trigger. You know what I'm saying? Like the, I can't.
Yep. Been thinking about it, but was finally like, I've had enough.
Yeah. And then did it and then goes, I've got consequences, but I'm okay with
it. Now, this is my new future now, right? But like, this is what it is. Yeah.
Cap that off, though, that I thought was interesting, bypasses Sue. Because in the match, we saw Sue give Trent a kiss on the cheek, which maybe Sue is a distraction because then that led to the pinfall. We may get that brought up in Trent's explanation later. But Sue doesn't turn heel with them is what I'm getting at, right? A mother, as we've seen with Mother Wayne, well, Mother Wayne sides with Nick Wayne, right? Sue doesn't necessarily just go, oh, well, Trent doesn't like Orange Cassidy and Chuck. Well, neither do I.
Yeah, this is out of character, Trent. Yeah.
but I'll go with it. I love you. You're my son, you know?
Well, let's do this. Let's head to the threads, right? At Tino Ibarra says, Sue's going to have to sit that young man down and give him a talking to. Hashtag AEW Dynamite. That could be fun, right? She's attempting to mediate, right? And you boys have been friends forever, right? And he's like, fuck that guy. She's like, language, Trent. Right? Like, oh, that could be good stuff, right?
Or just flips him off. Yeah, flips him off. And she like brings the finger down. Yeah, like, she's like, stop.
We don't do that here. Yeah, we don't do that in this family.
Stop.
These boys have been your friends. You treat them with respect. They're your best friends. They're you no friends just, of mine.
Yeah. And then like when he does the middle finger and she like, you know, puts it down. He's like, you did it to Santana and Ortiz in the van. She's like, that's different.
Yeah, I learned it by watching you, Mom. Yeah. You okay? I learned it from watching you.
Yeah.
Yes. Please. Now, so listen, I would love, though, if we get Sue finally is like, all right, no, you're right. You guys have been fucking my boy over. And we get evil Sue. Now they're driving up in a black van, right? She's dropping him off. Come out to fucking best friends collide.
I mean, I wouldn't hate
we
it.
We could even get if Chuck's finally ready, we could get a triple threat to where Chuck also was like, fuck both of you guys. Right. Mm-hmm. And now we've got this triple threat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that idea. I really do. So we go to commercial, we come back and we get our main event because the actual main event segment was a contract signing. So this is our main event match.
Ooh, are you forgetting about a backstage promo?
With who?
From Abrahante.
Oh, that's after this. That's after this.
That's after this. Okay.
Right. Before this. Yeah. But we get our main event match between Thunder Rosa and Mariah May. Winner.
That's right. You're saying this is the main event match. Yes. Yeah. Right.
Winner gets Toni Storm at Dynasty. I don't know if you saw this on Collision, but did you see Toni Storm learning about this matchup? In a backstage interview. Oh, she does great. So I believe it was Renee Paquette. Yeah, pretty confident in that. Renee Paquette goes, hey, Wednesday on Dynamite, they're going to do a number one contenders match. It's Thunder Rosa versus Mariah May. And Mariah May is standing right behind Toni Storm. And Toni Storm, I'm paraphrasing here because her lines are better than what I'm going to say, and I don't want to butcher them. She turns to Mariah May and goes, was this your plan all along? And Mariah May's like, oh shit. Like, I ain't, you know, like she like almost like the kid with the hand in the cookie jar, you know, she's like, oh shit. And then Mariah goes and kisses her and goes, I love it. And then just walks off. She goes, what a great thing to do. I would do the same, you know, cause again, she's being, the younger Toni Storm, right?
She's learning. Yeah. Yes.
And we talked about this before we started recording, but I think it needs to be said. The line of the night, and there's some great lines from Joe. There's some great lines from Swerve. There's some great lines from Adam Copeland about pro wrestling and all that. But the line of the night was from Tony Storm on commentary, who said, while Thunder Rosa and Mariah May were wrestling, is, you know, this Mariah May reminds me of a younger Tony Storm. And you know who Thunder Rosa reminds me of? An older Thunder Rosa.
Yeah. I can't wait to use that line on people. Be like, you remind me of an older.
That is so mean.
Yeah. I know. It's so great. It's so
but it's like, it takes like, again, you a second. You
try to even wrap your brain around it, like how you look like an older you is hilarious.
She does another line, and I can't remember this one either, but I do remember laughing pretty hard. Is she told, she goes, by the way, tell the truck in the back, I'm not wearing any underwear, so don't do the under the
announcer shot again, right? Shot. Just, yeah, and then he's like, you got it, girl. Just like, just a quick note for the truck. Yeah, she's so fire with just the lines. Like, she's so creative, man. She's hilarious.
Said it on Threads, and I'm being dead serious. If someone can make it, or if AEW will put it out, there needs to be a compilation of Tony Storm on commentary with Nobu massages, with the I'll punch you in the box to the fucking Thunder Rosa line. I mean, damn near everything she says. She's becoming, for me, she's becoming as must-see TV as Max Caster raps. You know what I mean? In the same vein of like, something happened with Vince McMahon. What is Max Caster going to say, right? I have that same feeling of Tony Storm's on commentary. What the fuck is she going to say?
She's one of my top five favorite acts right now, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and just her lines are just so... And it's all... You don't register it, right? Like, it's just like that line. Right. It wasn't mean. It wasn't anything. But you're just like, motherfucker, that was a deep burn. Yeah. And then even like the
you can tell
massages.
They've given her free rein to just say whatever she comes up with. And she's thinking like her mind is running 100 miles a minute. And she's got stuff in the holster like, oh, I'm throwing them for a loop with this. I've got this line. This is,
I mean,
early Jerry Lawler on Raw stuff, right? Like where it's just rapid fire, consistent, hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, I learned about a Nobu massage because of her. And then when I found out what it was, and that's a thing that no 8-year-old's going to be like, oh, like it's not saying suck it or whatever.
But it's another one where when you want to sneak something in, right, to make people be like, what? And then like have them maybe find out later, right? Like you just be like, listen, guys, I'm late. I'm running. I'm late for my Nuru massage, right? And you're out the door and they'll be like, okay, cool. And they'll be like, Nuru massage. You know, if they look it up, they'll be like, what in the fuck?
Okay, right.
What the fuck is Tom into?
Yeah, I mean, what is Tony Storm into?
Tom was a square, but...
I thought Tony Storm was, right? I mean, her presentation before she does this Vaude villain or, you know, 1920s character, thought she was kind of just a girl with a little, black line underneath
her eye. Half a baseball
eye.
Player over here.
Yeah. She's fucking awesome. But Thunder Rosa gets the victory. Thunder Rosa tries to then, get a little down and dirty. And she's like, let's fight now. Let's do it now. Let's fight right now. Tony Storm kind of lost for words. Doesn't say anything. Just kind of taken aback like, oh, shit. This girl really wants to fuck me up. And then they separate and we get announced the Dynasty. Yeah. We're going to get Thunder Rosa versus Tony Storm. So, what'd you think of the match? What do you think about the matchup coming up on Dynasty?
I'm excited for the match coming up on Dynasty. That's going to be good. Out on the threads, Chrissy Chemistry said, Mariah May and Thunder Rosa are already beating the shit out of each other, and Tony is amazing as always on commentary. # AEW Dynamite. And it just felt like a fun moment. We say this a lot about AEW. It feels like a party more often than not when we're watching Dynamite, and this kind of felt like that with Tony Storm. Rapid fire hilariousness, a great match going in with Thunder Rosa. We know she loves to bring it, is ready to throw around. Mm-hmm. And this Mariah May
is
awesome. Hitting home runs with everything she's doing also. So this was a great segment.
Yeah, very, very good. Women's division on top is looking great. And look, even to their credit on the TBS title picture, they're doing awesome as well. Because you have Willow Nightingale. Mm-hmm. You obviously have a marketable. You have a marketable Mercedes Moné. So, you know, kind of hitting home runs everywhere you look for the women's division.
We are.
We are missing a couple heavy hitters, though, and I can't wait to see him come back. An old Jamie Hayter. Hayter's going to hate. And then DMD.
Yeah, man. We need some Hayterade up in here.
Here's a perfect example of what Jericho needs to do. Now, Jericho's much older, obviously. But there was a moment, I think we would both agree, that as great as Britt Baker is, we were getting a little like, oh, so the one segment is her again, right? Like, what are we doing with another Britt Baker segment? But now she's been gone for 4 months or so.
Yep.
And we're like, DMD, motherfuckers, wait till she comes. Like, Jericho used to be the wrestler that did that.
King
and now
of that.
It's like,
he was always the king of that. Justin Flores joined in the chat. We haven't seen Justin Flores in a while. I mean, you have. But it says, y'all just scared the shit out of me with that.
Hello?
Tom's favorite. It's Tom's favorite.
I hate it.
Yeah.
You know what always boggles my mind when you play that clip, though? Is that Jeff Hardy. That's Jeff Hardy. That's not someone doing it to make fun of him. That's Jeff Hardy thinking, my alter ego.
Jeff, what do you want to do? And he's like, this. Yeah, this wasn't a Red Rooster gimmick. This wasn't, hey, try to make the Undertaker work. This was. Yeah.
It was all him. And that's his voice. That's.
Hello.
There you go. All right. So then after Thunder Rosa wins, then we do get, as you mentioned, Penta and his translator.
Yep. Not Shohei's.
Well, not Shohei Ohtani's translator. So remember that. Don't get yourself in trouble betting on things.
Should do something with that. God, they could lean into that, right?
Did you? God, I'll tell you when we stop recording. But there's an awesome joke about that that reminded me to tell you. But Penta says, hey, Adam Copeland, you know, you're facing all these outsiders. You're facing essentially, you know, Minoru Suzuki and some Ring of Honor guys. Why don't you take on an AEW original that has no fear? So next week, a matchup again that I would tell you last year, hey, we're going to see Edge versus Penta. You'd be like, how the fuck's that going to happen? And how will it look? We're going to see it next Wednesday. How crazy is that?
Yeah, I'm excited. And this is another thing with the tribalism, folks, that I don't get, right? Because if you only had WWE, like, you wouldn't get this, right? Like, these kind of matches exist only in a place like this. Yeah. And it's going to be a blast. I'm excited for it. I am really liking how they presented Penta here. Alex spoke a little bit for him. Penta spoke a little bit, right? Alex said something. Penta set it up. And you've talked about this. Dude's bringing a lot of charisma. And if we can get stuff like this where we manage his communication, he can be a pretty decent high-level star here. And in fact, let's go to threads here. Burns33 says, Copeland versus Penta for the TNT Championship next week. Seated. Hashtag AEW Dynamite. That's going to be a fucking amazing. Like, that's going to be a blast.
And you know, I've been singing his praises for as long as I can remember, especially that St. Patrick's Day episode where he put on the hat. Yes. But I really think that this is going to be, assuming it's a good match, which we are going to guess it will be. This is another thing where, like, I get Ospreay, I get Okada, I get Copeland, I get Swerve. You need to at least in the rotation of the main event scene for 3 months while MJF is off, right? And, you know, that's 20 minutes of promo time. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You need to elevate Penta to, I mean.
Yeah, we couldn't get Samoa Joe Penta.
For the title? And I'm saying like a real program, not like a, hey, Wednesday, Samoa Joe before Dynasty is going to take on Penta. Like a,
he
might win the title.
That. We could have done Joe versus Penta. Easy.
Yeah,
I know you could wrote it.
Well, like, you know, I think there's a disservice done. And obviously, if you could turn back the hands of time, they would have changed things. But there's a disservice that Santana and Ortiz versus the Young Bucks for the AEW champion tag team championships never happened. You know what I'm saying? There's a disservice that even Santana and Ortiz were never tag team champions. Now, obviously, it looks like that won't ever happen. Maybe it will, you know, 10 years down the road or whatever happens.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a disservice if we look back on Penta's career and be like, you know how many titles he held? Fucking none. Like, he was a tag champion.
None, yeah.
But as a singles competitor, he opened the show a lot. He's so like, good. Man.
So good.
He's so good. Yeah. All right. So now we get to the main event segment. This is a contract signing. Samoa Joe walks out. Swerve Strickland walks out. Joe takes a seat and quick to sign. He goes, here you go. Here, take it. And then proceeds to verbally undress Swerve Strickland. He says, look at all this. I've been seeing it. You went from this. You had the Hangman match. You got the chain around your neck that you probably choked him out with. And you think you're so good. This is the second match. He says, I have it here. He goes, but at Dynasty, he's going to beat Swerve down so severely, it will leave Swerve mentally scarred like he left a Diddy party too late. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, coming with some heavy, heavy artillery with that.
I mean, this is, again, you're, as we're talking about with tribalism, you ain't getting that line over in WWE. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Oh, my gosh. And so Swerve then says, well, he's not really a fan of Diddy, which whatever, you know. And then he just says, like, I've been dreaming about this because I didn't think it was true. But there's going to be a new dynasty at the pay-per-view, and it's going to be the dynasty of Swerve. And, you know, he talks about the signings of Okada and Mercedes Moné. And he says, truth be told, the title is bigger than both of them. Because he knows that the importance it is of having, and I'm paraphrasing and maybe looking into something a little bit too much, of having non-blonde white dudes as champion, right? Like, this is the first time that a non-white blonde dude isn't challenging for the title, at least off the top of my head. And right. So he says he knows that Joe's a killer. And St. Louis, he knows it's going to be whose house? And then everyone says, Swerve's house. And he says, run the fade on that, bitch. And then Joe shoves him. Swerve great. Hits him.
Yeah.
Then somehow, I forget how it happens, but Joe... Oh, Swerve tries to choke Joe. Did you catch this a little bit? Swerve tries to choke Joe. And Joe was like, why would you attempt that? Like, there wasn't a look of like scared. It was like... this is the best you got, you dumb fuck. Yes. And then he takes the chain off and then he just beats the fuck out of Swerve Strickland. Just punches and punches and punches and punches. Mm-hmm. Refs come out, walk him up the entry ramp, and then Swerve gets back on the microphone and he's laughing like the Joker, you know, or the Riddler, whatever you want to say. And he's like, you motherfucker, that ain't going to kill me. If that's the best you got,
then I'm taking your title.
Yeah, you are fucked. And then that's when Joe changes the demeanor. Joe changes the demeanor of like, all right, little brother, I'm going to show you how we do it in the, you know, big time to, oh, wait a minute, this motherfucker thinks he can step to me? And then we get a difference.
Oh, you think that's all I got?
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, yeah.
And he storms down. He gives him a rock bottom. I forget what they actually call it, but he gives him a rock bottom. And then he stands on his chest and he holds the AEW championship. So, Tim, what did you think of the whole ending sequence that we had here?
Pretty classic wrestling go home stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I posted on our website, which, by the way, check out allelitewrapup.com. About, you know, our AEW Dynamite preview, that this contract signing, I said, well, as we all know, these are always usually, you know, uneventful. Everybody remains calm. So this will be no different, right? I think they gave us all the cliches there, but I think the guys delivered on all of them, right? We got the lines from Joe. We got believability in the fight. We got a good reasoning for Swerve. Like, no, this is destiny shit, right? Like, this ain't about you anymore. And then we got a fight. And we got Joe looking the stronger, which traditional wrestling folklore leads us to believe.
That Swerve's
house. We'll be picking soon, and you'll be wearing a shirt, you know, but you know, you'll be wearing a Jeff Jarrett shirt. You still got it, right? He didn't burn it
yet. I still have it.
Hanging above your bed?
I do not. I do not. That's what my dog sleeps on, actually. Right. No, I'm kidding.
Nice.
So that was AEW Dynamite. Tim, what'd you think overall?
That would be funny. Yeah.
What'd you think overall?
Why does this smell like a dog's asshole? But like, I don't know. Laundry soap's cheap these days. Fucking capitalism.
Yeah. Goddamn. Shrink. What do they call it? Shrink.
Shrinkflation, I guess. Yeah.
Shrinkflation. Yeah. Son of a bitch. I just can't get enough of this soap, apparently. Yeah. So what'd you think of Dynamite as a whole tonight? Did you have a good time? What'd you kind of
Love Dynamite tonight. I thought it was a great Dynamite. I didn't find a whole lot of holes with it, right? We found a few things I think we nitpicked, but I think overall, good flow, a lot of good storytelling on this build, which I think I pointed this out to you offline. We're still a couple weeks out. They're doing a good build of, like, we know what's coming. We're still getting action. It's not lulled yet. We'll see. We've got a couple weeks to get there. You know what I mean? And they are very advanced in some of these storylines. So it'll be interesting to see how they, you know, stretch that out. But I liked this episode a lot.
I liked it. There were some... Structurally, that's the only problem I had. If you were to just tell me these following things happen, I'd be like, man, that's fucking awesome. And overall, this was a B to B plus episode for me. However, again, if I knew what was written out, I would have changed two things. One, it felt as if we did, and again, I don't know the exact times, but I'm just going to say them generally speaking. But we had 20-minute match, 20-minute match, 20-minute match, 20-minute match, promo, we're out. I would have broke that up. I would have done, if you're going to do 20-minute matches, 20-minute match, 20-minute match, Joe and Swerve, boom. Because then you can continue the Swerve's looking for Joe. Joe left the building. Well, Swerve's still fucking pissed, right? And Prince Nana and the embassy are trying to, like, calm him down. And you could even have Swerve punch one of the embassy guys, right? Like, get the fuck out of my way. You know what I mean? Because it would have broke up the show from just 20-minute match, 20-minute match, 20-minute match. But it also, the element I think that's missing right now, and I said this maybe 2 weeks ago, but if you recall when Eddie Kingston took the TV and tried to throw it at the Inner Circle, I think it was, or the Jericho Appreciation Society, one of those groups, you know?
Yeah.
And he fucking, and it was like, God damn, what the, that, there's not that, right? Everything's feeling a little too clean. It's this segment, then this segment, then this segment. Like, Billy Gunn, to his credit, interrupting Jay White's entrance was a little bit of a mix-up. But you know what I'm saying? And so then I would have ended, you know, if you're like, okay, Tom, well, then if you fucking move that, what do you got as your main event? Then I would have ended with a more pronounced punch to it. Trent turning on Orange Cassidy. That's your lasting image. You get the psycho knee. Chuck grabs him. He could even
walk out on his mom.
Yeah. I don't know if Chuck is like legitimately hurt. You know what I'm saying? But if he's not that badly hurt, he could rock bottom, making that up. Chuck.
Yeah.
If Sue's a good actress. Now, this is just hoping that she's a good actress.
Yeah.
Sue walks up to Trent. Trent kind of bumps her, right? Like a get out of my way. And if you could get her crying,
she's crying.
And then
that's it.
That's
but even that, even without that, all you do, like you could have done the same thing you did there and just hit it more, right? A little more of like Chuck being like, dude, what the fuck, bro?
Yeah.
And then him being like, get off me. And then Sue just trying to be like, whoa, 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 don't leave. Like, no. Like we can fix this, right? And he'll be like, you know what I mean? Like just leaves her, right? Like son, you know what I mean? And he's just like, you know, just fucking walks off.
Yeah. So, ooh, I just had an idea.
You get the camera over her shoulder, right?
Well, this might not be.
You watch him walk away.
That, but before you do that, the thing that's the like gut punch for her, because again, if she can't cry, that's fine, right? Not everyone can cry on cue. But what you would do, and again, if Chuck can't be physical because of an injury, he just says, get out of my way. Maybe he shoulder checks Chuck, right? Sue goes, Trent, what the hell? And Trent takes the coat because she was wearing the best friend's jacket, takes the jacket off of her and is like, you don't wear that. Yeah. Yeah. Or just takes it off of her and throws it. It's like, you don't wear that. And then she's like, remember when negative one
steps on it?
Well, because remember when negative one, when 10 turned his back on the Dark Order, and that was negative one's favorite wrestler. And he's just looking at the mask in his
ripped
hands,
up mask,
and they're behind him, like celebrating. Obviously you can't sell, but like that,
exactly.
That would have been,
yeah,
that would have been fun. But
yeah, her picking up the jacket and like looking after him as he's just walking away, not looking back. Right. Just, he doesn't care. He's out.
But you know, that's why they pay me the big bucks on YouTube. Tony, just saying.
That's right. Which reminds us, go to alleatwrapup.com. There's two new donate buttons on there. You can donate with PayPal or you can donate with Cash App. Cash App Mike D says hello. Hello, Mike. We are just now at the end of the show, so sorry if you joined in late, but you can rewind it, watch it back. Join us here next week because we love all the All Elite Wrap-Up fans. Reminder, go to alleatwrapup.com. Subscribe. It is completely free, and we don't spam you. We don't spam you much at all. Demolition with Crush 2025 Hall of Fame. Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be fun. Why not? Let's see Crush up there.
Demolition, but, great. Demolition wrestled the Regal Twins in Kansas City.
That's right. They
Regal
did.
Twins, shout
they
out
did.
To them.
Turner Wreck. The old Turner Wreck. A couple miles from the house nowadays. But anyway, we will be back next week with a fresh All Elite Wrap-Up. That'll probably be Thursday, maybe Wednesday again. But we'll see what happens. Stay tuned to alleatwrapup.com for more info. And we'll see y'all next week.